This is Pocket Watching with JT, the call-in financial talk show focused on helping you get your money right. Jason Thornton is a certified financial planner licensed in both tax and investments. Now, this is not personal financial advice. This is JT's real reaction to all your money and business questions. Are you deep in debt, living paycheck to paycheck, and looking for a way out? Call Pocket Watching with JT, the financial advisor for the people. Need more? Book your personal consultation with my man JT at pocketwatcher.net. Now, let's go pocket watching.
Hey, Pocket Watchers, welcome to Pocket Watching with JT. I am certified financial planner Jason Thornton. I am a financial advisor that specializes in tax and wealth planning for my clients. But on YouTube, I react to your money questions, bad financial advice, and scammer news focused on the Black community. So before we get started, got to give a big shout out to all the Pocket Watchers out there. We are this close to 85,000 strong. So do me a favor, as you make your way into the live stream, hit the like button, share, subscribe if you haven't already, and let's have some fun. All right, let's get it started. Here we go. Tonight, what are we talking about tonight? Well, apparently, everyone is not a fan of the Pocket Watching. And it's okay. You know, I understand. You know, Pocket Watching with JT is not for everybody. I don't claim that my content is for everyone. But a particular person is bothered, a little upset about the type of content that I make. So let's get straight into it. Tonight, we're going to talk about protecting the Black dollar. I have to do a direct response to Dr. Boyce Watkins and his critique or criticism of what I do on YouTube. All right, I'm going to be answering his questions directly. Now, listen, I'm going to do all that I can to hold back my raging pettiness. I am. So listen, in that spirit, I want my moderators to listen to me. We are going to talk about the numbers tonight. So moderators, I do not want to see my chat spammed with stepdaddy boy simp type of stuff. I don't want to see it. So if they start spamming the chat about stepdaddy simp boys, time them out, because we're talking about numbers tonight. This is Pocket Watching with JT. So for those of you who are unaware, last week, myself and my brother Eli, who will be joining us in a few moments, we did a video giving an update on the Tulsa Real Estate Fund. Boyce was not happy with the update that we gave, and he did his own commentary about his thoughts about the Tulsa Real Estate Fund. The issue is he wasn't very heavy on the financial analysis. Seems kind of odd to me. He has a PhD in finance, but throughout the entire over 1 hour rant, he never talked about finance. He didn't pull up any numbers. He didn't, none of that. Just rambled on about, what about the white man? What about the white man? So, seems odd to me. I'm going to answer some questions that he had. I took some notes, and I want to make sure that I follow through and I answer the questions that Boyce had about me and my content that I'm going to bring my brother up. But before we get too deep into this, I've got to give a special shout out. Now, Eli at all times gives credit where credit is due, and I always back him up and I agree. But I want to be the first one tonight to say big shout out to the people who were in the forefront of accountability content on YouTube for the African American Black culture, who were absolutely in the front when it came to giving their honest critiques about the Tulsa Real Estate Fund. And that is, you know, Yvette Cornell and Antonio Moore, Tone Talks. If you guys are not subscribed to them, I don't know what you're doing. Please subscribe to them. Great content, accountability content here on YouTube, especially in our community, is absolutely needed. And they were absolutely at the forefront. So shout out to them. Now, all right, let's get into it. Question number one that Dr. Boyce Watkins had for me, he said, why pocket watching, right? Boyce said that he grew up in the hood. I didn't. Let me be perfectly clear. I didn't grow up in the hood. I'm not from the streets. But he said he grew up in the hood. And as far as he is aware, pocket watching is a negative term. Pocket watching is something that haters do. I don't quite understand why I have to explain this to a man who is over 100 years old. Boyce is over 50 years old, and he's online critiquing what I named my show, because pocket watching is hating. Well, to answer your question, Boyce, originally, when I was going to, you know, develop this show and do it, I was floating around names like Financial Fact Checking with JT, right? Floating around names like that. But Financial Fact Checking with JT doesn't have any pop to it, right? When I was in college, I studied three main subjects. I studied accounting, marketing, and financial planning. And in my marketing classes, I was taught, Boyce, that, you know, when you're trying to brand something, when you're really trying to bring attention to your content, you got to find a name that kind of invokes emotion, right? You want to be able to tie people in, make them wonder what's going on. And when I was thinking about what I was going to do, immediately I thought to myself, see, the people who are not going to like my content, they're going to say, JT is pocket watching, right? As a negative to me, right? That's what they were going to say. Don't listen to that clown. He's pocket watching. Then the light bulb came off. I said, well, I'll cut him off. Before they try to say he's pocket watching, I'm going to name the show Pocket Watching with JT. So anyone who says JT is pocket watching, you now look dumb. I named the show Pocket Watching with JT. See, I'm not a finance PhD. I'm just a humble country financial advisor. But even here in St. Louis, see, we play chess in St. Louis. Boyce, based on, you know, what I'm seeing, you seem like a checkers player, right? You seem real checker player type. We play chess around here. So Pocket Watching with JT was the name that I came up with just so I can cut off people like you, Boyce, who will say what JT is doing is negative. He's pocket watching. Well, now you look foolish. So that hopefully answers your question. But it seems kind of odd to me that Boyce is trying to give me marketing tips on my content, because see, even though I'm at around 85,000 subs, Boyce is over 360,000 subs. But here's the problem with that. I average around 35,000 views per video. Over 35,000. Boyce gets around 5,300 views per video. I do one live stream per week. Boyce does 13. 13 live streams a week. He's working hard for those 5,300 views per video. So, Boyce, while I appreciate your attempt to help me with my marketing and branding of my content, I think you should really be focused on the man in the mirror when it comes to your branding and marketing of content. All right, so here we go. The next thing, I want to focus on this next point. You said that JT only does content on Black business owners. Yeah, got it right here. JT only, you even go further. You said that JT is scared of doing content on white folks. You even theorize that the reason why JT is scared of doing content on white folks is because the white man would shut him down. That's what you said. You even gave specific names of people that I'm afraid to do content about. You said that I am afraid to do content on people like Grant Cardone and Sam Bankman-Fried of FTX. You even said, hey, Sam Bankman-Fried, he got more Black people's money than Jay Morrison. Why don't you do a video on him? Well, Boyce, I think this is a clear example why many people are saying that you have lost all credibility. All credibility. I mean, you have a PhD in finance. Last time I checked, in order to get a PhD, you have to do a lot of research. Not only do you have to do a lot of research, you have to then defend your research and your thesis. But this is a clear example that you don't do any research. You just turn on your camera and talk out the side of your neck. You have no idea what you're talking about. You're giving uninformed opinions. You get into a rage and just start throwing up at the mouth. If you took 3 to 5 seconds, that's all it takes, 3 to 5 seconds to Google JT Pocket Watcher, Grant Cardone. That's all you had to do. JT Pocket Watcher, Grant Cardone. 3 to 5 seconds. That's all you would have needed. And if you did, this is most likely what would have popped up. These are just some of the videos that I've done on Grant Cardone. This isn't even all of them. Just to be clear, these, what, 5 videos? These are just some of the videos I've done on Grant Cardone. So for you to ask the question, why is JT so afraid to do videos? And you specifically said, Grant Cardone, you, sir, are an imbecile. You don't do any research. You talk just because you feel like talking. I don't know what it is. It could be the fake teeth that you have in your mouth now that you want to show off to everybody. Maybe that's why you want to just talk uninformed. But do yourself the favor before you try to clown me and say that I'm afraid of doing videos about the white man. And you even provide names of people who I'm afraid to do videos on. 3 to 5 seconds. And you could have found out if I did a video or not. I mean, your credibility is shot. Now, the next one, FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried. Let's take a look at this. I did a video on FTX. My brother Eli, who's coming up, he did several videos on FTX. We then did a collab and did a video together about Sam Bankman-Fried in FTX. Look at it. This wasn't a couple of weeks ago. This is like 8 months ago. I mean, you don't care if what you say is based in any type of reality. You just talk out of your feelings based on what I'm seeing. See, I have to now ask the question. Why in a 1 hour and 25 minute rant did you not go over the actual financial statements of the Tulsa Real Estate Fund? You didn't want to look at any other numbers. In fact, when I watched the replay of your live stream, there was even people in your chat and you highlighted their comments saying, could you go over the SEC documents? They were begging you, the finance PhD, please go over the numbers. What was your response? You said that you weren't going to go over the numbers. You said if people want to go over the numbers, the report's out there, you can look at it yourself. Look at it yourself, boys. What good are you? You came to social media with your finance PhD on your chest. You said that you were going to help everyday people, especially everyday Black people. Let's be clear. You were going to help everyday Black people understand the complex world of finance. Then when you are presented the opportunity to explain the complex world of finance by reviewing the actual numbers of the Tulsa Real Estate Fund, you told your audience, look at it yourself. All right. But let's look at it. You didn't want to talk about how the Tulsa Real Estate Fund lost multiples of millions of dollars each year. You just said, well, there's other white companies that lost multiple million dollars a year. But you didn't explain how those white companies lost millions of dollars every year. I believe you gave companies like Amazon as an example. Well, Amazon wasn't profitable for so long. Well, the difference between Amazon and the Tulsa Real Estate Fund, Amazon was not being profitable strategically. They decided that they were going to continue to grow an empire. They're going to continue to buy up other businesses and continue to grow and buy out their competition. That's why Amazon wasn't profitable for a long time. It wasn't because they were spending multiples of millions of dollars on marketing. It was because strategically they were growing at all costs so that they could become the business that they are today. But I guess, boys, you know, you don't quite understand that. You don't understand how that works. Now, I want to provide a little education to the finance PhD real quick. Because this, you know, maybe he doesn't realize how this works. And for anyone who's watching, you're going to learn something right now. Last episode, I talked about this. This is the auditor's report from the actual accountants who reviewed the financials of the Tulsa Real Estate Fund. This is part of their report. And I told you last time that in this report, they believe that the Tulsa Real Estate Fund is absolutely going to go into bankruptcy. In fact, they say within 1 year, they believe it's going to go into bankruptcy. Now, I want you to take a look at this firm. Notice how the Ultra Black People's Fund for Us, by Us, Real Estate Investment Fund, They chose to go with this firm to review their books. Seems kind of odd to me because I am personally aware that there are several qualified Black auditors in Atlanta who could have reviewed these books. But the Black, the People's Fund went with these guys. Now, just so that you're aware, the government does not dictate who audits your books, just that you get your books audited by a qualified CPA. You can pick whoever's qualified. This is where the People's Fund went. Now, it's not unique because we have Brother Polite, who was blackity black, 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 black. He decided to go with a white attorney when he was facing the charges that he's facing. We have Dr. Umar Johnson, who when he was purchasing the buildings for his school that hasn't quite opened yet, he decided to go with a white attorney to help him close on the building. And now we have Jay Morrison and the People's Fund who goes to the white auditors. All right, okay, I mean, is that, listen, I'm not the pro-black, blackity-black-black-black guy. It just seems odd to me, right? Seems a little odd to me. But what I want you guys to see is that when an auditor, when they look at your books and they look at the financials and they make a determination like, hey, it looks like you guys are going into bankruptcy, they don't just stop at the numbers. Believe it or not, they won't just look at your numbers and say, hey, we think you're going to go into bankruptcy. They actually give you an opportunity to explain what your plan is. They say, hey, listen, based on these numbers, it ain't looking good. But what's your plan? Do you have a plan that's going to help reverse these numbers? How are you going to change what we see? And they give you an opportunity. You present your plan to the auditor. And then they can say, oh, we were unaware that you had this plan. And now that we know you have a good plan to get yourself out of bankruptcy, we're going to reflect that in our report. We're going to talk about how you have this great plan that's going to save the company from going into bankruptcy. I want to now show you guys what their reaction was when Jay Morrison and his team gave the plan. This firm says that management evaluation of the events and conditions and management's plans regarding these matters, our opinion is not modified. Basically saying, after Jay Morrison gave them the plan to save the fund, the auditor said, nah, it ain't good enough, bruh. We still believe you will be going into bankruptcy within 12 months. Dr. Boyce didn't have anything to say about that, probably because he still has not looked at the numbers, nor has he explained any of this to his audience. All right, we about to wrap this thing up. We about to wrap it up, and I'm going to bring my brother up, but I got two more things that I want to cover in here. Number one, I can't understand why a finance PhD is so connected to a self-proclaimed three-time felon and high school dropout. I can't understand why he's holding on so tight several times throughout his rant. He kept saying that him and Jay Morrison are such close friends. I couldn't get it. Why is he so close to Jay Morrison? Why is he so tied to this man that he won't allow his logical, rational mind, the side of his mind that's a finance PhD, why won't he let that control the narrative? He's letting the blackity, black, pro, black, all black, never anything other than black side of his mind confuse him to Jay. I just couldn't get it. Then I remember my father taught me, birds of a feather flock together. I said to myself, well, What does Jay Morrison and Dr. Boyce Watkins, what could they have in common? I just kept trying to think and look. And, you know, this is what I came up with. I said to myself, hold on. Why would a finance PhD, why would he not have an issue with Jay Morrison filing for personal Chapter 7 bankruptcy about a month after starting the fund? Why would he not see that as a red flag? Could it be because Boyce Watkins himself, the finance PhD, could it be because he filed for personal Chapter 7 bankruptcy himself? Birds of a feather flock together. Now, the main difference is when Boyce filed for personal bankruptcy, he wasn't actively trying to run an investment fund. I'll give you credit for that, Boyce. But okay, what else? Why didn't Boyce see it as some kind of red flag that several ex-business partners of Jay Morrison have took him to court claiming that they were defrauded by this man, claiming that they were not given the proper funds for their efforts as a partner? Why would, I mean, this is the most recent one right here. This is from Will Roundtree. And I believe Will won this with a default judgment. Jay didn't even fight it. Will Roundtree and his attorney are saying that Jay defrauded him. Jay took money from him, stole from him. Let's be clear. In this document, Will Roundtree accuses Jay Morrison of stealing his property, of profiting off of the sales of his property. What was Jay's response based on how I read these documents? He didn't even fight. Default judgment. Why would Boyce not have a problem with that? Could it be because Boyce Watkins himself was took to court by business partners claiming, even here it said he swindled some sort of scheme, defrauding partners, maybe birds of a feather flock together? Maybe. Or could it be this? Jay Morrison, based on all reports, after he failed as a real estate agent, he started his own online course. Called it a school, you know, it's a school, but really it's just an online course for financial literacy, targeting Black people, right? He wants to give financial literacy to Black people after he failed, allegedly, as a real estate agent. There's reports that say that he actually lost his license because he defrauded a young Black man. That's what they say. All right. Why would Boyce Watkins stay with him? Could it be because Boyce Watkins allegedly, apparently, is a failed college professor who he also teaches an online course that he calls a school? Now, pay close attention right here. Even their websites are based on the same platform. It's the same thing. All they did was change the colors and the logos. It's the same exact platform that they have. Birds of a feather flock together. Now for my last point. I'm bringing Eli up after this. This is my last point. Boyce, throughout his entire rant, he kept talking about protecting Black dollars. He said that I'm not protecting Black dollars. I think I am, but I'm not in it for the real fight. He said that I need to fight white supremacy. Leave all these Black people alone. He never said I was wrong. Let's be clear here. At no time did he ever say that any of the videos that I have ever done about any Black online influencer, business owner, whatever you want to call them, he never once said that I was ever wrong. Never. He simply said, why don't I target white folks? Why don't I fight against white supremacy? He even asked the question, what's your legacy gonna be? What's my legacy? What am I going to be remembered for? Targeting other black business owners who happen to do something wrong when there's white folks who are doing so much more wrong in the world. He even suggested that I need to do videos about Facebook or even Coca-Cola. Do videos about Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola has hurt black people way more than the Tulsa Real Estate Fund. I think that's what he said. Well, Boyce, if I use your logic, just for a second, if I attempt to use your logic, then I think we have to agree that Facebook and Coca-Cola, they're not the top of white supremacy. You know, Boyce, what are you doing to fight against white supremacy? Other than just run your mouth, what are you doing tangible to help black people in your fight against white supremacy? I don't see anything. I mean, yeah, you're saying Facebook is bad and Coca-Cola are bad, but I think we can agree that they are not the top of white supremacy. You know, I think we can agree that the U.S. government has way more power to hurt black wealth than Facebook and Coca-Cola. Let me show y'all guys something. Recently, there was a report that even the government told on itself. This report shows that the IRS even acknowledges that black taxpayers face a higher probability of being audited. It says that they have a 2.9 to 4.7 higher rate of being audited by the IRS. Now, that's pretty bad. I think that has a bigger effect on black dollars than Coca-Cola and Facebook. My opinion. I think the U.S. government and the IRS is a bigger target of hurting black dollars. Now, when Boyce Watkins heard this news of the IRS having a heavier hand and hurting black people more than anybody else, what did Boyce Watkins do? Well, I mean, Boyce Watkins did what he always does. He made a video about it. He made a video. I believe this video is 1 minute and 7 seconds long. Thank you, Boyce. We appreciate the fight that you're doing to protect the black dollar. Your 1 minute and 7 second reaction video to this news. Now, real quick, I got to show you guys that there's levels to this whole protecting black dollars thing. While Boyce was happy to make a 1 minute and 7 second video about the IRS attacking black dollars, I actually represent those black people against the IRS to protect their black dollars. There's levels to this. And I haven't just started doing this. I've been doing it for over a decade. I have protected millions of black dollars against the IRS. See, boys, I'm starting to understand what your problem is. You believe that a person's legacy, their life's work, is what they do online. Because your legacy, your life's work, is based on what you do online. Videos that you make on YouTube, your Twitter posts that you make. See, years from now, when people think about Dr. Boyce Watkins, they're not going to remember you as some great college professor. You you failed at that, it looks like. They're not going to remember sitting in a classroom and learning gems from you and walking across a stage, shaking your hand, and then going on to having a great career. They're going to remember that you had a Twitter beef with Lizzo. They're going to remember that you're going back and forth with a comedian who absolutely destroyed you online. That's your legacy. But see, for people like myself, my legacy and my life's work is not what I do on YouTube. You see, I actually have a life and a career, a profession outside of this. See, I go to my office every day and I protect black dollars in reality. And once a week, after I go to work, after I come home and relax for a moment, I cut on this camera and I do this show, Pocket Watching with JT. I do this for fun. This is how you feed your family. You do about 19 videos a week, and that's just one channel. You got multiple channels. So I want to be clear. There is absolutely no beef between me and Boyce Watkins. This is not even a competition. We're on totally different levels and we're doing totally different things. Because the work that I do is not truly on YouTube. See, the work that I do is when a black man or woman wakes up in the morning and they find out that the IRS has put a hold on their bank account. They can't pay their mortgage. They can't pay their car note. They can't even buy groceries because their account is froze. Do they call Boyce Watkins for help? No. See, Boyce Watkins can only make a post on Twitter, do a TikTok dance. They call me to help protect their black dollars. See, when a black man or woman is in the position where they are afraid that the government is going to take their home. And to be clear, most millionaires in America, most of their wealth is in their home. Most of the wealth that transfers from one generation to the next is based somehow, some way in home ownership. When they wake up and they find out that the IRS has put a lien on their property and their home is in jeopardy, do they call Boyce Watkins so Boyce Watkins can make a YouTube video? No. They call me and I help them. That is why I have won several awards that have nothing to do with YouTube. I've won several awards from black institutions. Because I protect the black dollar. So Boyce, this isn't a beef. This isn't even a competition. I'm going to continue my work in helping black people build wealth. Not just with these videos, but I have actual clients in real life who we do retirement planning, wealth building, making sure that they have a budget, make sure that they pay down their debt. Actually, tangible stuff. I'm licensed to give financial advice. I don't just play a financial advisor on TV like you. I do it in real life. So leave me to the work of actually protecting black dollars. And I'm going to leave you to your work. You can continue to fight the good fight, to battle against Popeye's chicken to the death so that you can save our people. Hopefully that helped. All right. So at this time, I would love to bring up my brother, Eli, from What Happened to Comedy. What's going on, Eli?
Everything's going great. That was an amazing graphic that you just put together. Because for the life of me, I cannot understand what's his beef with Popeyes. But then I thought back and I realized Boyce used to be chubby and fat. So Boyce in his days, he probably ate a lot of Popeye's chicken, which is the reason why he was a short, stumpy, fat guy. And he probably has a lot of regret about that, which is why he always references Popeye's chicken. But, you know, jokes aside, if Grant Cardone had the same rhetoric that Boyce Watkins had, we would call him a racist, a bigot. Mm-hmm. See, the fact that he always references rap music and he talks about Popeye's chicken, it shows on a deeper level how he really views Black people. And see, that's the angle I want to focus on today. Because we talk about legacy. Well, we need to really put Boyce's legacy in the proper context. Because when I come on here and I say that these niggas are slow, Boyce Watkins is the definition, the textbook definition of these niggas are slow. And when people say things like, you know, having a college education doesn't really mean you're smart, I would tend to agree with them because Boyce is an example of that. Because, you know, and a lot of the things I'm going to say is kind of, you know, just a continuation of what Yvette Carnell and Antonio Moore were saying, because see, truth is consistent. Like when you look at Boyce Watkins, you have to ask yourself the question, is he a diversity PhD? Meaning that, you know, Syracuse was sitting around and they were saying, you know what, we don't have enough Black men in our program, so let's just try to get him through here. Because, you know, when I listen to what he's saying, this is the finance PhD that doesn't engage in numbers. He engages in Black rhetoric and ideology, and his ideology trumps reality, where you would think someone who's rooted in finance would be rooted in objectivity, but yet everything that he says is subjective. Now, when I say that Boyce Watkins is a failure, we're going to look at his legacy. So right here on the screen, what I want to share with you guys is I want to share who was Boyce Watkins as a college professor. Now, I can't substantiate the things that's on this website. This is the website by the name of Rate My Professors. But what's on here and the reviews that they have about the person who is alleged to be Boyce Watkins,
right,
damn sure lines up with a lot of the rhetoric that he spews on a daily basis. Now, as you can see, his overall rating is a 2.3 out of 5. So that means he's below average. Right. Below average is the professor. If this is the Boyce Watkins that taught at Syracuse. Now, again, have to use my words properly. Right. You know, people say you're slandering them. So I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe this is, like Umar says, audio technology manipulation. Maybe. So right here, the rating distribution, he has 5 for awesome. He has 9 for okay and 6 for awful. So if we come down here, it says one of the worst. This person says not clear and not vague, requires study. He crazy. Another person says awful, awful, awful. Never stayed on topic. Always went off on crazy tangents about his personal life. Test quizzes never corresponded to what was learned in class. Loved to complain about how unfair Syracuse University was to him for not granting him tenure. Horrible professor.
Listen, real quick. This may not be our Boyce, but it sure does sound similar to our Boyce.
Now, again, like I said before, I do not control the data that's on this site, but it damn sure sounds a lot like the Boyce Watkins we heard go on the Popeye's Chicken rant in his video describing the Tulsa Real Estate Fund lack of performance. Because, see, Boyce said he does not want to be attached to a culture that's losing. Well, Boyce, last time I checked, you're a loser. You are a horrible professor, according to this website. Right. You have recommended people support Umar. That turned it out being a failure. Then you linked yourself up with Tariq Nasheed. And now we can see that the hidden museum, which looks to be hidden, that's a failure. And then now here we have you with Jay Morrison. And that tends to be a failure. And, you know, the great Yvette Carnell said this, and I'm just going to repeat it. Boyce said, you know, well, what's our solution? Here's a solution, Boyce. Stop listening to you. Because had the people listened to you, the black community would have been $13 million richer by just not listening to you. Because clearly, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Now, another person said, we learned nothing. You accept responding to any questions by it depends. I guess I didn't mean to say responding to any questions by it depends. The professor is cool, but professionally speaking, he misses too many classes, never explains problems, which is essential in finance, and just read his PowerPoints. Useless class. Don't take this teacher. Never take him. Wow. Legacy, boys. Legacy. Legacy, legacy, legacy. Now, another person said here, this class was fascinating. I am so amazed that a person could waste an entire semester and teach nothing in such dramatic fashion. Boyce, excuse me, Dr. Boyce, is so caught up in his media appearances and headstrong, often uninformed opinions that he forgets his actual occupation as a teacher. And as a result, I learned nothing useful. Wow. Does this not sum up who Boyce Watkins is that we see today on the YouTube platform? What do you think about that as a professor? Do you think that that's a professor that you would want your kid spending $40,000 a year to learn from, JT?
Absolutely not. No, sir. I mean, it's so funny because I'm hearing these reviews and I'm looking at my notes. My personal review of his reaction video to us sounds similar to the reviews of his former students, allegedly.
Allegedly, right? We have to make sure we use our words. Because they always say that we're slandering them.
Right.
You see, again, success leaves clues. Mm-hmm. Failure also leaves clues. And when we look and we examine Boyce Watkins' history and tenure, because see, one thing we have to understand is that there's always new people coming online, and a lot of people don't know about this stuff. So many of us see Boyce plays to black aspiration. But the reality is that at a certain point, you have to start holding someone accountable for the reality of their failures. See, this is why you have to be careful with people like Jay Morrison, Boyce Watkins, Umar Johnson, etc. Because remember, they're coming to you saying they have a solution for white supremacy. And see, it's a never-ending circle jerk because they tell you they have a solution. You then take them up on an offer. You invest in said solution. Then they fail. And they fail because of the very problem that they say that they have a solution to, which is white supremacy, which then brings you all the way in a circle back to square one with nothing accomplished. And year after year, they keep coming to you saying, I have a solution. I have a solution. You take them up on offer. Then the very problem that they had a solution for is the very problem as to why they fail. And over and over and over again, you keep ending up in the same point, which is nowhere. And you will spend 5, 10, 15 years of your life following these people to nowhere. And see, many of you Hotep back to Africa, red, black, and green, B1 simps. You swear that you're so tapped in. And you're operating on these high frequencies as you claim that you are. Oh, let's talk about these high frequencies. Because everyone's an agent, right? Wouldn't it be smart for the powers to be if they truly wanted to keep you subjugated, keep you oppressed? Wouldn't it make sense for them to back a bunch of ineffective leaders that would lead you to nowhere? See, it's a reason why you keep seeing these people with this particular rhetoric always pushed in front of you, because the powers that be know they're not going to lead you anywhere, but nowhere. And this is why we keep seeing ourselves here time and time again. Now, I think that this is very, very important. And this video is 5 minutes, but it's important to summarize who Boyce Watkins is. There was an individual who helped Boyce out with his marketing, who was a partner, who also helped create some of the products that Boyce offers. His name was Charles Wu. Now, chat, what ethnicity do you think Charles Wu was before we get to the video? I want you to think, what ethnicity? Because if Boyce was so pro-black, wouldn't you think he would only work with black people? Well, Charles Wu happened to be an Asian man. And again, they always want to say I'm slandering them, so I want to make it clear. I didn't say this. Charles Wu said this. He said that Boyce is a character, and his job is to sell Black people hope.
Woo!
I didn't say this. He said this. Now, I know what you Hotep back to Africa, Red, Black, and Green and B1s are going to say. Show us the video, Eli. Well, that's what I'm going to do right now, because I want to get into who Boyce Watkins actually is and his legacy, like we were talking about. So let's go here to the window. And the window that I want to play is, where's the window at with the actual video?
Give me one second. Big shout out to everyone who is doing the super chats. I appreciate each and every one of you. You got the video up. Let me add it to the stream. Here we go.
But now we do it, you know, more formulaically is, why do, you know, is we actually sell the why. Like when I explain what I do, you know, I tell people I basically sell hope and dreams, and I fulfill it. Sometimes I fulfill it with SaaS. Sometimes I fulfill it with a physical product. Sometimes I fulfill it with an info product. But ultimately, I'm selling hope and dreams of some sort of desired end result. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of how I look at it. So, like, if you look at it, you know, and let me, you got me thinking. So let me pull this up real quick. I'm going to share my screen. Let's see how to do this. Yeah, I'm going to share this right here. And this was kind of exciting for me, you know, as a copywriter, you know, side of things. You see my screen okay? You see like a presentation or whatever?
Yeah.
So we're clear. That's Boyce Watkins on the screen. And the Asian guy speaking is Charles Wu. And he's talking about how he leverages Boyce as a character to sell Black people hopes and dreams. Now, I'm going to play it again so you can hear him actually say these things and how he, Boyce cries and the sales just go up.
You know, if you look at how we do it, you know, in this case, we're basically, I mean, we're selling like a children's education product, you know. I'm not saying I believe it's a good product we put together. I'm not saying it's a bad product, but in the grand scheme of, like, you know, children's education products and stuff like that, you know, there's thousands of them out there, right? It's like if you're selling like webinar software, if you're selling some sort of SaaS tool or whatnot, you know, the reality is, like, you know, we're not that special snowflakes, you know, like it's all the same thing. But what we do is, if you can imagine, I hit it initially, like, I literally, like, what I'm selling, I view myself as selling. Like, the problem is not that they buy my product. You know, I'm trying to, like, sell a movement or a change. So in this case, you know, this offer that we have, you know, we're focused on the African-American niche. And we're basically selling, you know, we basically sell it as religion, right? So we're packaging as, like, you know, Black economic power needs to become the second religion. We're going to sell you on how to properly.
So this is an Asian guy. Mm-hmm. Talking about the marketing pitch that they're constructing is based around selling you economic empowerment as a religion. Meaning, see, you got to understand why Boyce uses a lot of the rhetoric that he uses. See, it lines up with therefore trying to make you think that somehow he has a solution. So this is why he references things like Popeye's chicken. Even at the 750 mark in the video, he talks about policing Black businesses. He uses certain verbiage to get a reaction out of you. And see, when you look at the way that the Tulsa Real Estate Fund was packaged, when JT was talking about how their websites are the same, look at the name that they chose for the fund, the Tulsa Real Estate Fund. See, they are appealing to Black trauma and Black pain. And this Asian man, right? The so-called pro blackity, 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 blackity person is using an Asian man to do this. Now, he talked about being cowards, that only attacking Black businesses. So Boyce, where was the bravado for Charles Wu when he called you his pitch man that sells hope and dreams? Where was all of this? Because you said that you're a grown-ass man. That's what you said. Well, let's finish listening to a little bit, because I think that this is important to highlight who Boyce Watkins really is and why he speaks the way he speaks to Black people.
Educate your children, create your own job. You know, well, like, literally, like, this is what we sell.
Correct.
That's how we position. And what's interesting, you know, and this was actually great, because, like, we were on the webinar, and Boyce, who's, you know, he's the main character. He's, like, the pitch guy. You know, he's my, you know, info product.
Yeah. Like, he said he's my character. He's the character. He referred to Boyce as a character. Not as a finance PhD, not as a strong Black man, but as a character. Whew. The Asian man called your Hotep Jesus, your Back to Africa Jesus, your brightest PhD, a character.
If we look at it, we had we literally go completely off tangent, which is good. But it's like, you know, let me just read this copy to you. I'd be curious to get your opinion. You know, so we're basically selling, we're fulfilling, we are selling hope. We are fulfilling it through an online education product.
But he says we're selling hope.
Like, this is kind of the pitch. It's like, you know, growing up, I was the Black kid who wanted to be invited in the space of the white man. Blah, 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 you know. And it's like, and we were just having a day when I said that I'm not going to pretend to be somebody else. I'm not going to fit in trying to hope that these white folks like me because I'm a good person. I learned how to love, you know, well, like all this sort of stuff. It's like this self-realization point. And what's interesting is this is actually one of our, you know, and maybe you'll think that I'm this evil person. This is actually a practice and planned effort to get to a critical.
He said, this is a practice and planned effort to get to a critical point. Meaning they are crafting the message to get you to buy.
Rehearsed.
So, rehearsed.
Planned. It's an act. He's an actor. This isn't something that's spontaneous. It's not coming from the heart. It's a script that was prepared to manipulate and play on your emotions, not to bring you something of substance, but to sell another man's course. Okay.
Right. So let's finish it up because it's very, very telling what he says here.
Close point. And actually, I was really excited because, you know, and this wasn't planned, but like when Boyce was actually pitching, or not pitching, he was educating. We were all about educating. We don't sell here. You know, he was educating. He actually, like this became like an epiphany moment for him. Mm-hmm. And I have him on, you know, we're on like YouTube Live and the webinar and everything. You know, he's tearing up. He cries for a good 30 to 45 seconds. And it's awesome. I feel like I can find, like, I think the video is still up somewhere on YouTube. If I can pull it up, let me find this real quick. You know, from earlier this week. Hold on. And now I need to find something that takes the server to load. But, like, that point, like, literally, like, we spent, like, the presentation, we spent 4 minutes. Like, he just, like, broke down and was like, he just couldn't keep himself together. And the customer response in terms of confidence at that time just completely blew up. And I don't want to make it sound like it's completely manufactured or, well, I guess it somewhat is, but this was, you know, beyond my expectations. But, like,
he's so happy for his character.
He's so happy for his character that he said it went beyond his expectations. Now, what I want to share, last thing, and I'll let JT chime in, because this is important when we talk about this, right? So when you see Boyce Watkins doing stuff like this, right? When you see him dressing like this, right? Can you see my screen?
It's coming up.
Right? When you see this, when he's in African cosplay, when he's in the Hotep Avengers gear, when he's in the room with three men, and you see that leg, ow, Boyce, I see you, girl. I see you, Boyce.
Yeah, he got that ankle. Oh, ankle. Wow. Yeah.
Ow. I see you, Boyce. So when you see the sassy PhD, when you see him, this is African cosplay. This is a character. This is a character that's trying to get you to a certain critical point to get you to do something. Now, based upon what Charles Wu said, it's to get you to purchase courses. So when we see this individual with all of this protect Black women, and I want to be a part of, you know, loving Black people. Well, the Asian man said something different. The Asian man said that you are a character trying to sell Black people. Now, what do you think about what you just heard, JT?
Listen, at first, I was skeptical. I'm going to be honest. I was a little skeptical. But when I heard the presentation from Charles Wu, when I heard the responses from the alleged students of his actual class when he was a college professor, a lot of dots are being connected, all the way to the point where I understand why he does not like us and the type of content that we do. Mm-hmm. We do not do cosplay like this. You don't see us in dashikis and you know, lighting incense and doing all of these traditional things that you expect someone to be blackity black pro black. We are under no delusions that we're trying to be some kind of Black financial saviors to the community. See, that's what people like Boyce and his associates like to do. They want to come before you and claim that they're playing some kind of big role in the salvation of our community through financial literacy. They are financial civil rights leaders. Mm-hmm. They are the Malcolm and Martin of real estate. They are the best that ever did it. They are the greatest investors in the world. They're a finance PhD that's more than just a finance PhD. They can tell R&B stars that they need to lose weight. They can do all of these things. But see, me and Eli and people like us, we don't come before you trying to be Black leaders. We just are who we are. We give our professional critiques on the culture. We give our professional critiques on how you should do due diligence. Y'all can have the title of being a Black savior. Y'all can have the title of being whatever it is in your delusional minds that you are really fighting and winning in the war against Black supremacy. But in reality, this is all we see. This is the view that most people have. Now, if you want to show your works, what you do that's tangible, Boyce, beyond running your mouth, beyond giving a speech, making a Twitter post, claiming that you are leading the underground railroad to financial success, show your works. I don't want to hear about Popeye's chicken until you shut them down. Here's the craziest part, Eli.
Go ahead, JT.
He went on a little rant about Facebook during his little reaction video to our content. This shows you how weird Boyce is. Because think about this. If it was not for Mark Zuckerberg, if it was not for Facebook, this man would lose so much of his income. Boyce, who is a proud Black man, needs to wake up every morning and get on his knees and pray to God, thanking for Mark Zuckerberg. Because if it wasn't for social media, if it was not for Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, this is how he reaches his customers. Without Mark Zuckerberg, where would Boyce be? I propose that there's a strong possibility, if it was not for Mark Zuckerberg, Boyce Watkins would be teaching GED courses at some community college. I'm just think about it.
I agree.
It is social media, which is all owned by white folks, according to Boyce, is played the biggest role in his financial success. But that's one financial advisor's opinion. That's all.
Now, what I want to, because Boyce Watkins came onto my Instagram page and left a comment. I'm going to share mm-hmm. that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Before I would engage with Boyce Watkins, but I realized that you're talking to someone that's slow. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to have a conversation because Boyce cannot even comprehend what you're saying. He can't stay on topic. He's a little slow. So we're going to read some of the comment he left. And then I'm going to show you by just looking at some basic data. You're going to see that this doesn't make any sense. This is deflecting. This is a bunch of whataboutisms. So he goes, go look up how many white people are losing money. The Disney CEO has lost billions in shareholder value over the last 5 years, yet earns tens of millions per year in income. Also, research the state of the commercial real estate market since the start of the pandemic. Keyword, since the start of the pandemic.
Right.
It's in horrible shape. Actually, if there's a recession, this will primarily cause that. So let's go look at how real estate has performed since the pandemic. I think this is important, right? Let's take him up on that offer. He talks about real estate not performing well.
So right.
If you come and you just look at some basic data.
Uh-huh.
Just some basic data.
Right.
Right here, this gray line right here represents the pandemic recession.
Okay. It's
a contraction. This is median sales prices of houses sold. And look at them. They literally rocket straight up. It's like a hockey stick. So that means residential real estate was appreciating in value. During the years, see, it wasn't like he just lost money in 2021. He also lost money in 2020 and in 2019.
Yes.
So regular, I know what you're saying. Well, Boyce specifically said commercial real estate, right? Because see, he's lost money in each one of those years.
Let's be clear. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. So now let's look at how commercial real estate has performed over that same time period. Because all you have to do is just some basic due diligence. I mean, this isn't even hard to do.
Boyce just opens his mouth and he lets words come out. He does no research based on his comments.
So here we go. This is 2020. Let's make it larger so everyone can see. This is commercial real estate. It dipped. And then look what commercial real estate did. It rocketed. Now remember, this is up until 2021. So when commercial real estate is doing bad, which is in the present, that should not reflect the numbers from 2021. So that means that the numbers in 2020, or at least in 2021, per Boyce's logic, that would mean that if commercial real estate is why the fund isn't performing, well, in these years, they performed. So it doesn't even make any sense based upon what he's saying. Now,
Hold on. I want to make a quick point because that might have went over some people's heads. So real quick. I want people to understand the numbers that Eli and I have been going over and Yvette Cornell, Antonio Moore, shouts out to them. The numbers that we've been going over are not the 2022 numbers. Jay Morrison has been habitually late in submitting his documents to the SEC. The numbers that we are going over, yes, they are the recent filings of the Tulsa Real Estate Fund, but those are the numbers for December 31st, 2021. Those are not the 2022 numbers, and we are currently in almost August. It's the end of July of 2023. So don't get confused. The numbers we're going over and the only numbers that are available are from over a year ago. We're talking about 2021 numbers. That's why this is so relevant. The numbers that we are talking about have nothing to do with this downward trend of the market.
Which means in the years 2020 and or at least 2021, he should have been making money because the real estate market was in a boom. We just went through one of the greatest bubbles in the history of finance. But I wouldn't expect a horrible finance professor who spends most of his time dressing up like an African Flintstones character to be able to do this, right? I wouldn't expect that. Now, what we can also do, and see, this is important, because see, he said out of his mouth, he hasn't looked at the document. So how can you give us, and because he said his channel, I quote, is for intelligent Black people, where intelligent Black people to come. Yet he engages in nothing of intelligence. The next question, and Yvette brought this question up, and it's a very, very practical question. When you come here and you look at the amount of money that is being spent on general, administrative, and marketing, that has not a goddamn thing to do with commercial real estate. So when he talks about, when he comes up a comment and he says, the commercial real estate is doing bad, the losses are not because of any real estate. He's not losing money because of real estate acquisitions or transactions. He's losing money for general, administrative, and marketing. But see, the finance PhD that doesn't do math didn't even pull up the report to look at this and see that the millions of dollars being lost isn't because the real estate portfolio isn't performing. It's because the fund manager is spending millions of dollars on general, administrative, and marketing. Now, Boyce loves to keep highlighting. Mm-hmm. If you think that there's something nefarious, you know, everything's transparent, everything's above board. No, it's not. That is not an itemized breakdown of what the money actually went to. Right. It just tells you $2 million in marketing. Who was the money given to for the marketing? Who was the money given to for the administrative? Was Boyce or a company that Boyce is affiliated part of that marketing budget? I don't know. But that's a great question that needs to be asked because, like you said earlier, why would a finance PhD so hard defend a three-time felon? Why would a finance PhD defend an individual whom he says he doesn't have any business dealings with? He just has a friendship with them. Right. So then why are you defending the person? Because I would want to know out of that market, because we know Jay Morris has said out of his own mouth that Treff is the umbrella. And that he is a serial entrepreneur, and that some of his companies that he may have an interest in does work for Treff. Well, we would want to see that in an itemized breakdown to know, because you told us you don't take a salary. Because, see, let me teach you guys something. And again, I listen, when I say you niggas are slow, I'm not talking to my followers. I'm not talking to JT followers. I'm talking to the Boyce Watkins people. There's something where, and a lot of white guys do this, where they are able to take out a lot of debt and get the company in a lot of debt. And they'll go out here and do a bunch of bad business deals within the business. And then they'll go and file bankruptcy. But the companies who they're doing these bad business deals with or partners are somehow connected to them. So they're able to run up $5, $10, $15, $20 million and fleece their creditors or fleece the bank by filing bankruptcy. Now, I'm not saying that that's what Jay Morrison is doing, but that would be a question that I would have to throw out there based upon the horrible performance and that so much money is being spent on marketing and general administrative. Because again, the lawsuit, because Boyce brought up, it costs millions of dollars to defend against the feds. That was back in 2019 and in 2020. That should not have nothing to do with 2021 because they already won the case, so y'all said. So why is the marketing higher? Why is the administrative higher after they've supposedly won the court case? See, one plus one will always equal two. And bullshit will always be bullshit.
And I mean, Boyce's defense, right? And his friendship with Jay has clearly blinded him to basic logic in looking and reviewing of the numbers. No one here is saying that we want him to dislike Jay Morrison. We're saying use your finance PhD to actually analyze the business by itself. You need no comparisons. Review the business based on its own performance. Because could someone, anybody, name for me the fund manager that is white
that black people are throwing money to that is a three-time felon, high school dropout, allegedly lost his real estate license because he defrauded a young black man, who then filed for personal bankruptcy a month after started the fund. Because when you do comparisons, Eli, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you were supposed to compare apples to apples.
Yes.
See, until Boyce can show me the fund, the real estate fund that is operated and managed by a white man who's a three-time felon, high school dropout, lost allegedly his real estate license for defrauding a young black man, who then filed for bankruptcy a month after starting the fund, and then named himself the CEO, the CFO, the COO, and the CTO. If he finds a white company like that, then I welcome the comparison. Let's do that. But you can't compare apples to oranges.
Also, too, just a lot of the comparisons are foolish. So, for example, mm-hmm. when he says things like, I wonder if you're holding white companies or businesses accountable. First of all, we don't have to do that because there's something known as an earnings report. And then there's tons of white financial media like Bloomberg, like CNBC, et cetera. So we don't have to engage in that because there's an entire apparatus that does that already. See, the reason why myself, JT, Yvette, and Tone Talks even has to distract ourselves from what we already do
right.
to talk about this is because there's a lack of true journalism and media in the black financial space, right? So therefore, it's important that now people have to come out here and take time from their busy, productive lives to come cover a lot of this foolishness. Because see, I want you to understand, other cultures are laughing at us. When they see someone dressed up like an African Flintstones character, like the King of Zamunda, that's not, like, do you think Bill Ackman is coming to investors with dashikis on and talking about Popeyes? Do you think Carl Icahn, when he gets on an investor's call, is talking to his investors about the white man or the black man or the Asian man? Or is he talking about macroeconomics and geopolitical events that are going to drive more value to his investors? He's talking about numbers. He's talking about data. He's talking about potential policies that are going to be enacted that's going to be able to drive revenue and drive value to his investors. But see, we are letting a person, like I said before, this is insulting to even allow a person to speak to you this way. I would feel disrespected. Now, he said something else. Can you see my screen right now, JT?
It's coming up. Here we go.
Shout out to Tone Talks. Tone Talks pointed this out.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps saying, oh, just sue.
Right.
Just sue.
So take them to court. If any investor is unhappy, don't talk about it online. You take them to court. That's what he said.
Well, according to the actual document, and see, mm-hmm. this is why reading is fundamental. But see, Boyce knows the FBA, B1, Red, Black, and Green, Hotep, back to Africa. They don't really read unless it's some, you know, astral projecting or chakra book or something like that, or something about Dr. Sebi. They'll read that foolishness. So it says, this offering memorandum requires that all investors arbitrate any dispute other than those related to the claims under federal securities law and the rules and regulations promulgated there under arising out of their investment in the company. All investors further agree that the arbitration will be binding and held in the state of Delaware. Each investor also agrees to waive any rights to a jury trial. Out-of-state arbitration may force an investor to accept a less favorable settlement for disputes. Out-of-state arbitration may also cost an investor more to arbitrate a settlement of a dispute. So, I don't claim to be a legal expert. I just claim to have a little bit of common sense. For your $500 investment, you are then going to have to go to the state of Delaware to go and file this claim, which means that's going to cost you money.
Right.
And from what I learned with arbitration, you have to actually pay up front for the arbitration. And then you have to then go and get an attorney to take on the case. And you still may get a less than favorable judgment, even if you win. That was structured that way. Now, another thing Boyce said, because see, I actually do finance, right? I do it every single day. He said, well, you know, you don't talk about companies like Disney. Well, let me explain to you how companies work, Boyce, publicly traded companies. When the CEO is not performing, there's a board and there's shareholders, and they can vote to get the underperforming CEO removed from the position that he holds. The way that the Tulsa Real Estate Fund, the fund that you said you did your due diligence on, is structured in a way where even if you wanted to get the high school dropout, three-time felon, who sold crack to his father removed, you couldn't even do it because he's the key man. Way to go, PhD. Way to go, diversity, PhD. Woo!
But I mean, people say I laugh too much. Listen, life is short. You got, if you're not laughing, laugh at every opportunity because life is short. Listen, you have a man who we have demonstrated several times in just this show who speaks out of turn. He just speaks. He talked about take him to court without understanding that the investors cannot take them to court. He talked about our content and how we are scared of the white man and making videos of them. Specifically, Grant Cardone, Sam Bankman-Fried, and both Eli and myself have done videos on these very same white men. He refused to look at the numbers because I believe he knows the numbers will not support his arguments. I believe Charles Wu now. I believe Boyce is a character. Continue to be the character that you want to be. If you want to cosplay as the financial civil rights leader of the current era, Boyce, have it. You're not going to get a fight from me. You're not going to get a fight from Eli, Yvette, Antonio. We're not campaigning to be the black financial savior of our people. We're simply people who have actually dedicated our lives to real professions, to help real people in real life. We don't have the time to make 19 videos a week on YouTube. We don't have the time to do all of the silly stuff that you do. We don't get in Twitter beefs with Lizzo and comedians, and we don't do that. You can do that. Have fun. But you did. You did say that you were willing to come on the show. So listen, you have an open invitation to come on Pocket Watching with JT. I want you to come on and explain your position when it comes to the way you said that you vetted the Tulsa Real Estate Fund. You said that you are a finance PhD, so you asked Jay Morrison some really hard questions, and he just amazed you with the answers. You said that it had a solid structure, even though three-time felon, high school dropout, a man who has been alleged to defraud his business partners prior to opening this fund. He was the one that held all the executive positions. Strong foundation. That's what you said. If you would like to come on this show and go over the actual numbers of this company, not other companies, we don't need to compare other companies. We're going to focus on the one that we're talking about. If you would like to come on the show, Boyce, obviously, you've been on my videos from various accounts, making comments from various accounts on my videos this week. So you know how to get in touch with me. We can have a conversation. I'd love to do it.
Eli, you got anything to tell the people?
Yes. I want to play one more video because I think that this is very telling. Mm-hmm. Boy said business is very messy. And I disagree. Business isn't messy unless the individual conducting business himself is messy. And Boyce Watkins has definitely proven himself to definitely be a sassy PhD and a messy PhD. And what's amazing to me is for a person who claims to love Black people and claims to want to do right by so many Black people, you can find countless female after female who has conducted and did business with Boyce. They always have a falling out with Boyce about money. Now, I understand now why. Because the finance PhD doesn't really engage in finance. Right? But I want to play what Yvette was saying about him. Because, see, Yvette was working with Boyce back in, 15, 16, way before we even got to this point. Like, you could go find videos of her and Boyce from, 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And whether it's Michi X, whether it's Yvette Carnell, whether it's Paris Milan, and so many other women who have came out and stated that Boyce hasn't paid them properly, that they had to chase them around for their money. And I just want you to see that, again, per Charles Wu's words, it's really looking like this guy is a character in regards to how he looks out for Black people. So let's listen to what Yvette had to say. I think that this video is from 6 years ago. Listen to this.
Fusion of capital to pay for stuff. But he's trying to convince you that he did. He never did. At least if he did, he didn't send it to me. Or he didn't send it. I mean, there was times when we paid workers who weren't even American. They were in Singapore for $5 an article. How does that as a Black business benefit you?
Well, real businesses, I'll be honest, real businesses pay their employees all the time. They pay themselves a living wage. I'm sure you got paid consistently.
No! Somebody asked me, the reason, why did you stop working with Boyce? Because he stopped paying me. I mean, you didn't even tell me that you stopped paying me. I had to hunt down your assistant.
Who he wasn't paying, I suspect either.
Probably, but then when I hunted down her and I said, hey, I didn't get paid this month, $1,200 a month. What can you do with $1,200 a month working full time? That's what I was getting paid. And I hunted her and I said, hey, I didn't get paid this month. And she said, we ain't got no money.
So Mr. Big Black School, Mr. Finance PhD, was struggling to make $1,200 a month payments to an individual who's working with him. I want you to think about that. When a person's sitting up here and they're talking to you all of this Black power, Black business, Black empowerment, this is the person who couldn't make a $1,200 payment, allegedly, to an individual that was working for him. And didn't even have the dignity or decency to tell her, hey, I'm not going to be able to pay you. So to forewarn her, hey, this month, figure something out. She had to go chase him down. So now while he's online, in African cosplay, ranting and raving about Popeye's chicken, you can go find individual after individual after individual after individual who's going to say, you didn't pay him properly.
That sounds familiar. That sounds real familiar. I believe there's a man who goes by Jay who has the same kind of rap sheet. People claiming who they were business partners with, who boy supported, that say that they had issues actually getting the money that they would do. This is kind of weird that we even have to do this. But big shout out to my brother, Tijuana Jackson. If you guys are not subscribed to Tijuana Jackson, you are missing out. Moderators, do me the favor, please put the link to Eli, put the link to Tone Talks, put the link to Yvette Carnell, put the link of Tijuana Jackson in the chat so they can go over there and subscribe to some of the greatest content creators in our sector of YouTube. You got to do it. We got Brother Tone Talks in the building too, says good show. Listen, Eli says it all the time. I agree with him. We have to give credit where credit is due. People who are absolutely in the forefront of accountability content. As Eli said, We don't have to do videos about Coca-Cola, Boyce. Boyce, do you realize that there are videos on YouTube right now about Coca-Cola, the evils of Coca-Cola, that have multiple of millions of views? Now, while I'm happy with the success of my channel, but if you put my channel and Boyce Watkins' channel together, we would not perform at the rate that those videos about Coca-Cola and the evils of Coca-Cola have performed. You're just running your mouth. That is all that you have done, and most likely that's all that you will do. Once again, as I close, what have you done that is actually tangible? This is a real question, and I know you love to hear your own name. I'm going to say something personal for a second. It is my opinion that the reason why you get into beefs with other people, you don't get in beefs with Lizzo from some kind of grounded, principle, personal, financial value that you have. You get in beefs with Hori Holcomb. You get in beefs with Lizzo. You get in beefs with these people because you just love that you're trying to stay relevant on social media. That's my opinion. I personally believe that every time Boyce finds out that someone is mentioning his name online, he has an orgasmic reaction that someone is mentioning his name. Boyce is a man who lives his life based on all the relevant information. Boyce is a man who fears death. Give me a second to flush this out. He's a man that fears the death of being irrelevant on social media. Anytime that he believes that a spotlight is no longer on him, that people are not talking about him, he'll find something that is so off outside of the spectrum of his so-called expertise. He'll find a way to get people to talk about it. He fears death from social media and attention. That's why he wants to be remembered as some kind of civil rights leader. He wants to be remembered like Malcolm and Martin. He wants to be remembered for being a Black warrior. Okay. See, I'm not a finance PhD. I'm a humble country financial advisor. My legacy will never be dictated based on how many followers I have on Instagram, Boyce. Nor will it be dictated based on how many views I get on YouTube. What you see in this box right now, this is not my life's work, unlike you. My real life's work is having an impact on the lives of my Black clients. There are countless people. I can show you real case files of Black people who you say I need to be protecting their Black dollars. But they can tell you that I've protected multiples of millions of their Black dollars. Not in some theoretical way. Not some, you know, astroteric, oh, I'm saving lives with the words that I say on social. No, 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 no. Real people. I protected their homes from the IRS, their bank accounts from the IRS. I've worked with them to build portfolios and invest in budgets so that they can pass on wealth to their children. That's my work. That's what I do to protect the Black dollars. I don't live on YouTube, nor do I have an online course and sell flashcards. Last time I checked, a flashcard has never protected a black man or woman from losing their home. That's the work that I dedicate my life to. Not what you see in these four corners.
Also, I want to add to that, because I think that this is very, very important, right? When we talk about protecting black people, you know, as I was sitting here and I was putting together my notes, I was saying to myself, Yvette and Tone actually saved the black community, because had it not been for them, Jay Morrison probably would have got $50 million. You know, and when I was sitting back and I was thinking about just how they were able to put that information out there in a way right at the height of when he was doing the fundraising that raised a lot of questions, right?
Right.
And I look back and I say to myself, had they not been able to present that information, he would have been able to probably get close to that $50 million target. Mm-hmm. And instead of us talking about black people losing out on $13 million, we'll probably be sitting here talking about black people losing out on $50 million. And, you know, when we talk about protecting black dollars, they actually protected black dollars, right? And not just even from Jay Morrison, but also now from a lot of other people who are going to try to pretend to be the next Jay Morrison. Because now a lot of people are going to ask the detailed, important questions when you are looking to invest in something. And I think that that's one of the key takeaways. Like, people say, well, what do these videos do for people? What's the point of them? It's to raise the awareness, because you can't go compete against white supremacy if you can't even compete and hold your own people accountable. If you can't hold a person that looks just like you accountable, then how the hell are you going to go hold the government accountable? And so I think that these things are necessary. They have to happen, because it will then allow people to know who's really for you and who's not. And they'll also allow you to know who's serious about the work and who isn't. Because when we talk about advocacy, and Yvette spoke about this, and it was so true, because, see, when you're young, it is very easy to come across a person like a Boyce Watkins, and he's saying certain things that may appear to your juvenile mind about right. Popeye's chicken, you know, about police brutality, and these things can kind of sway you. But when you look at the data, see, when you look outside of your perspective and what you see every day, and you look at more of a macro view, the data tells a story as to why those conditions exist. See, Boyce doesn't want to look at the data, because the data would basically make many of his talking points irrelevant and would force you to have to engage in work. Talking on YouTube about Popeye's chicken and Lizzo isn't work. The work is getting involved in your politics locally, yep, nationally, right? Because big business goes hand in hand with big government. And when you have the government writing $100 million checks here and grants for this and grants for that, and we don't have our business PhDs and finance PhDs engaged in that, that's trillions of dollars that are not flowing to our community, because we don't have the right people advocating for us. And see, that was the whole purpose of the ADOS. That's why I even really started making Jay Morrison content, because you could clearly see he was trying to grift what they were doing. When he was saying foolishness, like asking your government for reparations is foolish. Mm. Right? Clearly trying to steer attention away from something that was more important than your bullshit ass fund. So I think that it's important that we understand, when we talk about protecting black dollars, Yvette and Tone saved black people a lot of money.
Yes,
because
sir.
A lot of this stuff wasn't even known about Jay Morrison. And in closing, I want to end with this. We have to be realistic where we are economically. Yes, can some of us do for self? Absolutely. But your success is nowhere near compared to the amount of wealth, power, and influence that the other dominant society has. And I think that we have to stop looking at things in such a, you know, a micro way of, well, I have success, or rappers or athletes have success, because one thing that the pandemic proved is most of the wealth that we thought these people had, they really don't have.
Right.
Most of what we think is wealth is really just materialism and debt and depreciating assets. So I think that it's important that we have to really raise our political, you know, acumen and IQ, as well as our financial IQ so that we can truly be out here and truly take some market share away from what's going on out here with the dominant society, with white supremacy, whatever the case may be. So I just want to leave with that. I think it's important that we understand that this is not about attacking people, but voice is a cancer. And at this point, if you, I'm not mincing my words, if you support Boyce Watkins, you are part of the problem.
Well, listen, people, we all have our parts to play. None of us on this platform and the platforms that I support, none of us consider ourselves the savior, end all, be all. We have all the answers. We're going to do our job. And if there's a vacuum, if there's something that we're not doing that you believe should be done, then your lane is open to do it yourself. I've got my assignment. I believe I'm doing it all right. I'm gonna be good. If there's something or somebody that you think should be covered, that Pocket Watching with JT or Eli, Yvette, Antonio, we're not doing, then by all means, you go out in the field and you do it. I've got enough work on my desk that I don't need another assignment. So I want to thank you guys. We're almost at 85,000 subs. Go ahead, hit the like button, share, subscribe, and I'll be back next week. Y'all have a great weekend.
Hey, Pocket Watchers. Are you looking for real financial advice? Thornton Advisor Group is here to help. Jason Thornton, certified financial planner, specializes in tax and wealth planning. Are you living paycheck to paycheck with no retirement plan? Do you need help with the IRS? Book your consultation with Thornton Advisor Group to get a financial plan, budgeting, savings, debt management, tax planning, investing, and retirement, even IRS debt settlements. Stop trying to run the play. Get the advice you need to live your best life from a certified financial planner. Book your consultation appointment today. Go to www.thorntonadvisor.com.